Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I'm okay. Everything's okay. I'm okay.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
I dropped my headphones.
It's a gentle Tuesday.
I broke them.
And then producer Ben to the rescue.
Yeah, I scrambled to put them on, and now my left ear is bent over. You can't see it.
You should correct that.
No, it...
What if you...
It's my punishment for breaking my headphones.
No, but yes. You don't have hair to cover that.
What part? If I break my ear?
If your ear is bent for the rest of the day.
Or my life.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'd look like a wrestler.
But
pinned on one side all the time.
It's cute when dogs do it, though. If a dog has a floppy ear, it's
that
adorable.
Is adorable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wait, should I bend it back? I just unbent it.
Now I'm interested.
What do you want?
Now I'm kind of interested to see if it would be cute on you.
Let me bend it back.
I don't know. When a puppy has them.
Yeah.
And the older
everywhere.
You get, the bigger your ears get. So maybe it would be cute.
Wait, my ears are still growing?
Yeah.
Is that a scientific fact?
That is fact.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Your nose and ears keep growing.
Why?
As you get older. I don't know.
And your fingernails.
And your fingernails.
And your hair, technically.
Yeah, well, that all.
Where at least it's responding. Yeah.
All keeps growing. Yeah.
My nose and my ears are growing?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And sliding down your face. I think Tom Hanks told me that.
So.
I was listening.
It's gravity plus what?
Gravity and just, I don't know, biology.
And when were you hanging with Tom Hanks? That should have been the first question I asked.
Man, America's dead.
Come on.
No, I was listening. That's why I went to go see that movie of his.
Yes.
Because he was talking about the difference. Like, they used AI to de-age him.
Yeah.
But normally they would use all, like, the makeup and stuff. So instead of having to sit in a makeup chair and having to pin back his ears, where they'd have to, like, grab them and pull them up.
To make him look younger?
Yeah.
To pull lines away?
Yeah. He was like, I was able to just, you know, do a scene and not have to have, like, a painful makeup process.
Do they have to put the weird dots on his face, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that how they do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Lots of little dots.
Yeah.
And then he had to bring in, like, all of the pictures of him ever.
What's it called? Here?
Here. Yeah.
Nice.
I just thought it was interesting because then it's like, that's not so painful. But he did mention that the ears grow forever, the nose grows forever. So he could definitely see that in the aging process.
I think anything Tom Hanks would say to me, I would believe.
I did.
Anything.
I'm repeating it. Hook, line, and sinker. I believed it.
If he came around and like, you know what? Flat Earth, it's a thing. I'm like, ah, dang it, Tom Hanks,
well,
you're right.
Tom Hanks said, America's dad said.
So it is what it is.
I guess.
Huh.
We're going with Earth is flat, Tom Hanks said.
My left ear is starting to throb a little bit. Can I bend it back?
Show it to me.
Well, it's stuck under the...
Show me cuteness.
It's not cute.
Well, your other one's flopped too.
Well, that's because it's stuck behind...
Yeah, but you got... Well, it's kind of cute.
It is? Well, how about... Is that better? You like that?
Two floppy ears.
How's that look?
That's kind of cute.
There, how's that?
Yeah.
I can't hear anything. That's weird.
Okay, well, that's not going to work
no,
for me.
For this business, it's a bad idea.
Huh?
It's adorable?
It's adorable, but I can't have you saying, huh?
What?
Huh?
What?
Hmm?
Okay, I'm going to go back
fix
to here.
It. Just fix it.
Okay.
Just fix it.
Full ear on the left.
Yeah.
I'll give the right a little bendy.
It just wasn't worth it. Yeah.
No.
Dang it.
Well, guess what I'm asking for Christmas?
Flexible
new headphones.
Ears?
Well, oh, two things. A trip to the ear doctor, the cosmetic ear doctor, and new headphones.
Some new adorable ears.
Which one should top my list?
I don't know.
Ear doctor trip?
I don't know.
You don't get a lot of cosmetic ear surgeon advertising.
No.
Do we have any in the area?
Cosmetically.
Do they have to break the cartilage to get the look I want? The floppy dog ear look?
What is that? Can you make my ear look like my dog's?
But if I do that, I want the power and ability to then open them up at the same time. That's what that's what makes Roland adorable.
You want to be able to control the ear.
I want to control open and close.
Yeah.
And then I also want to move them to the direction the sound is coming from.
Kind of like Dopey and Snow White.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He seems to have a lot more ear control.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would be a good idea.
Well, we'll work on it.
Okay.
And the average American's attention span, shockingly short. I mean, I guess if I observe just like my family as we sit down to watch a show, a TV show or a movie together, I shouldn't be surprised. The average Gen Zer checks their phone about 6 times during a TV show.
Yeah.
That's just per an episode, like a 30.
I think my wife's turning into one of those.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm like, that seems to track.
I also have a hard time keeping my full attention reading an article, especially on my phone.
Just reading?
If I can get into about three paragraphs, I'm like, I get the gist of it. I stop reading.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric.
That's attention span.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, if it doesn't keep me, I just can't. Yep. I got exactly. the gist. That's enough. We don't have the attention span that we once had.
That's crazy.
I know. And I have to be
but
doing
I think
two
it's trackable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are now a multi-screen. There are times I'll have a laptop, possibly an iPad, an iPhone, and television going all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Entertain me.
But we're so used to that just kind of coming at our brains.
Yep.
That's just the way we're programmed.
Yep.
Totally makes sense. Well, hopefully those listening this morning, though, have stayed with us the full 8 minutes.
I'm sure we've got their undivided
attention.
That's
what I'm hoping for.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I'm by no means a big Detroit Lions fan or a Houston Texans fan. I do like the Lions. They're kind of my Midwest team.
Mm-hmm.
I followed the Packers for a while. I've never really been a Bears fan. Your husband's a big Vikings fan.
Yes.
I really follow where the Hawkeyes go.
Yeah.
But I bring it up because I think we are in a bit of Lions country because there are former Hawkeyes on the Lions. And there's been some audio that's been shared, and I just wanted to bring it because I find this fun. The amount of times I've traveled and you're getting ready to land, and you're a lot of planes anymore have a little TV in the back of the seat in front of you.
Yeah.
So you can actually watch like live sports. And while the game was going on Sunday night, the Lions taking on the Houston Texans, the game is tied with 3 seconds left, and the Lions are about ready to kick a field goal. And it just so happens this is exactly at the same time the plane is coming in for a landing in Detroit. So they have to make announcements, right?
Uh-huh.
Everybody's screen in this video, and I'm on NFL's Twitter feed, is on this game. You could tell it's a plane full of Lions fans, and you listen to how they react when the flight attendant tries to make the "we're landing" announcement.
It's been our absolute pleasure to have you on board tonight.
No.
Congratulations.
So she stops.
I was given this information.
And then she apologizes. And anytime her microphone goes on, there's a big black box that blocks the screen. So I'm looking. It is the guy is stepping back to make the kick. And they're like, stop talking.
Stop talking.
Stop talking. And then it was a matter of did he make it or not. So he's back. She has stopped talking. Every seat TV is on this game in this entire plane. And then you hear them go, yes,
no.
And then they make it.
Woo!
And then they scan the entire plane. Everybody was watching that game.
Now you can land the plane.
Now you can land the plane. It's the power of sport and the fact that, like, of course we're supposed to pay attention to the announcement, but you're making this announcement at the, and hopefully she was from Detroit, so she got it.
Oh, sorry,
my bad. This is not a good time to let you know that your tray tables are supposed to be upright, right? I'm so sorry. I started seeing that being shared late Sunday, early Monday morning. I'm like, what is this all about? I just found that hilarious.
Oh, that is Love funny. It. That's very funny. I was trying to help out our dear, dear friend, DJ Lady J, who we know as one of our, the best DJ in our circle.
Oh, from a club standpoint?
Oh, my gosh.
She's the tops.
She is the best. We love having her in here on a Flapjack Friday. We love having her mix at Z102.9 prom. She's the best.
Our regular at the Market After Dark. You'll see her at Basics a lot.
Yes.
She's good stuff, man.
And speaking of her work at Basics, DJ Lady J is up for an award. DJ Lady J is up for the Drag Awards. She is up for Best DJ for the Iowa Drag Awards. And she's like, oh, I'm nominated? Oh my gosh, I'm up for a major award as a DJ? She's like, you just don't get nominated for stuff like that.
That's a statewide award, by the way.
It's huge. It's kind of a big deal. And she's very, very flattered. And today is the last day for voting. So
how do we vote for her?
I'm asking people to rock the vote. I just shared. You have to scan a QR code and then like go to the ballot and vote for her. So,
but if I just search Iowa Drag Awards, I bet I can get there.
Iowa Drag Awards, and it's right there. And you just go and you vote for DJ Lady J.
Let's take home some hardware.
Let's go, DJ Lady J.
Jack Links, the beef jerky company. I'm sorry, I think they are the protein snack company, if you ask them. With a distribution center in Lawrence in northwest Iowa, just announcing a layoff of 91 employees. That will take place January 24th of 2025. Jack Links laid off 46 employees this past September, an additional 60-plus employees since September of 2022. Waterloo Police investigating reports of white power flyers. They claim to be from the Aryan Freedom Network. Reports say the flyers appeared Sunday morning on various properties in Waterloo. Police don't believe there's an immediate threat, but are asking for help. So if you got home security or doorbell camera footage you think might identify the source of where those showed up, please forward that to investigators in Waterloo. What's got us feeling all right? The internet. T-Mobile has something called Project 10 Million, where they're trying to get 10 million families online for free, especially if you're in a rural area or an area underserved by internet, so you have better results at school. Families can apply for free internet hotspots, currently accepting applications for students in Iowa if home internet's a problem. It used to be run through the school.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point that changed, and T-Mobile just wanted the world to know that you don't just have to be a student at a specific school district as long as you meet certain eligibility requirements. So, for example, your family is probably enrolled in the National School Lunch Program or other like SNAP or other assistance programs.
Yeah.
You got to meet some criteria there. And then you go through an application process. Families who are approved get 200 gig of mobile data per year for 5 years, plus a free mobile hotspot. And they can buy additional Wi-Fi devices at a lower cost. If you want all the details, easiest thing to do is search T-Mobile Project 10 Million. And if you meet the requirements, that might help your family and thus helping your kids in school with better internet access at home.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Well, let's start with the big baby announcement. Megan Fox announced yesterday that she and Machine Gun Kelly are expecting their first child together after previously suffering a miscarriage. She posted a photo where she's nude but covered in a black liquid cradling her bump, along with a photo of a positive pregnancy test.
How do you line that up? Who you call?
Hey, I need a bunch of black
liquid.
Liquidy goo.
You're calling like Marion Co-op.
Yeah.
Like the Otzon Oil Company. Nope, I just need a barrel of oil.
But
don't ask why.
It's got to be safe.
It's got to be safe for pregnant women.
Yeah. I'd like to lower myself in. But okay. She captioned it, "Nothing is ever really lost. Welcome back." No word on how far along she is or the gender of the baby. But she has three sons with her ex, Brian Austin Green. Their ages are 7, 9, and 11. And then Machine Gun Kelly has a 15-year-old daughter with his ex-girlfriend. So, welcome to the family, baby.
Could be a fun Thanksgiving 2025.
Yeah.
Bring them all together.
Totally, totally. Okay, very excited. People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive 2024 is going to be announced tonight on Stephen Colbert. But while we wait, I've got another sexy list.
Lay it on me.
The 10 sexiest bald men in the world.
In the whole wide world.
In the world. Marketing agency used criteria according to like a scientific study. They looked at criteria like smile analysis, shine factor, vocal attractiveness, media perception, and created a ranking.
Okay.
Based on all those things.
Who we got?
Number one.
Number one.
Start at the top.
Okay. The sexiest bald man in the world per science criteria.
Per science.
Is?
Prince William.
Next story. I really wanted to hear a fun name.
I know.
And that's not it.
I know. Number two is The Rock.
Number one is The Rock.
Number one is The Rock. Number three is Shaq. This is the weirdest list. Can I just give you the list?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and give me the list.
This is the weirdest list.
Wait, I only got number three.
One is Prince William. Two is The Rock. Three is Shaq. Four is Surfer Kelly Slater. Five is Terry Crews.
Okay.
Six is Danny DeVito. I like any list that has Danny DeVito on it.
He's coming to the party with Jersey Mike's. That's
yes,
why he's invited.
That is a good list. Seven, Samuel L. Jackson. Eight is a French soccer coach.
Just call him Pierre.
Pierre. Nine is Stanley Tucci.
Okay.
And 10 is Vin Diesel.
They got that thing out of order. It's a good list of names in the wrong order.
This is a weirdly ordered list.
Prince William's number one?
I know.
No!
I know! Who did this, and they said it was science.
This was a marketing company?
Yeah.
What are they marketing?
I know. Is it
Rogaine?
A British marketing company?
It's probably a British marketing company.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kiss the crown. Okay. Well, The Rock was number two, but I think he's going to lose points based on this story. The Rock was, according to a previous story we had in Z-Sleaze, a terror on the set of his upcoming holiday movie, Red One. He was disrespectful to people on set. He showed up hours late or not at all. And according to some people, he would urinate in bottles and then people had to dispose of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He still had that.
That's ready to go. Tell me he's denying it all.
Well, according to the rumors, he actually added an additional $50 million to the budget just with being late. Just being late alone or not showing up. They had to add days or change the schedule around.
Something doesn't smell right here. And well, it's whatever it's, The Rock is
not,
cooking.
It's not the bottles. He was asked about it in an upcoming issue of GQ's Men of the Year. The Rock was asked about the bottles thing. And he's like, yeah, that happens. He did not elaborate.
Like, you just know going into working on a set with The Rock, that's how he relieves himself?
What? What? Like, that happens on sets? Like, there aren't bathrooms on movie sets? What are you talking about?
So he's not saying it's just him. It's just that's something that happens in Hollywood.
That's the business? I don't understand that. However, the lateness thing might be an exaggeration. He never denied being late, but he didn't cost the movie anywhere near $50 million. The director said that The Rock can be late sometimes, but he's never missed a full day of work. The director, Jake Kasdan, said that he's worked with The Rock on three movies, and he said that he's always been great to work with on sets. His co-star, Chris Evans, said that he comes in slightly later on certain mornings, but that's all like a planned thing. It's all worked on schedules. Everybody knows when he shows up, when you're scheduled to work. So it's all good on the schedule thing.
It's also a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Right? You should feel like everybody's just happy to be there.
You would think.
Right?
Yeah. It sounds like it's all maybe much ado about nothing, except for the peeing in bottles thing.
Maybe that's just a Hollywood thing. Maybe we don't get it.
You don't understand, okay? Sometimes we have to.
Hey, Ben, I can't leave this room till 10.
No.
No?
No?
No!
No, we're not going to start. We haven't done it up to this point. We're not going to start now. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Very excited to be allowed to name the 8 new snowplows in the city of Marion.
We've been working on this. Probably this goes back to, I think, late September, early October.
Yeah.
Making sure they were open to the idea. Had to ask a few people in the council chambers. Street department was all in. Street department is all about awesome vehicles right now because they just added automated trash.
They're like, yeah, we just got our trash automated. Yeah. We're super psyched. Let us get them all settled on getting trash set. And then, yeah, go ahead. We would love to be a part of naming the snowplows.
So we took that time to take your recommendations 50-plus names later and then some hard work on our part to get that down to a list as manageable for voting. We are ready to present the finalists. And from this, we will have our final 8. Now, we know Plowboasley is happening.
That's a go.
That was named at Good Morning Cedar Rapids late last week. But we would like to give you, what do we have, 12 on the list? And we need you to pick 7.
Yeah, it's a great list. So much great creativity. Either names about the city of Marion, about the Morning Scramble, or about just pop culture of the year of 2024. Great list. We've got How Now, Loud Plow, Hot to Snow, Lions, Foxes, and Wolves, Snow My, Ron Plowvingston, Ron Livingston, but you know,
yes.
Plow. The Uptown Snowdown. Eat, drink, and be plowed.
Yes, it made it.
It made the list.
City manager wanted it on there.
He said it could go.
Thank you.
Dead Plowed Snowvereen.
Great. That's such a hot movie. Just, I think today, Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's now in homes.
Oh, hey, yeah. That's great. Sweepy Dandekar.
I don't want to fix the vote, but Sweepy Dandekar has to win.
And if she could just, you know, do a quick photo, that would be so amazing.
Yes, get a picture of Swati Dandekar with Sweepy Dandekar.
Yes.
It'd be great.
Yes. The Hansoni Zamboni, if you could just do a quick photo.
I'd be happy to.
That'd be great.
If I get in the top 7.
Yeah. Claire in the way.
You got to get in that cab too.
I would love to get behind the wheel.
Go, we could do a ride along. That'd be so fun.
That would be so great. The roundabout clearer out. I think if we get the roundabout clearer out, that is the one that goes on 7th Avenue.
They've got a map of the city. They know where the most roundabouts are. That's where that plow would go.
Love it. And last but certainly not least, the Marioni Zamboni.
Okay, that's 12. Out of 12, we need 7. And voting is open and so, so easy.
So easy. You just head over to KZIA.com. Look for the snow plow. That's the actual snow plow that you're going to see on the streets of Marion. Click on that snow plow. It'll take you over to the actual poll. Vote for your 7 favorite. You can't vote for any more than 7. Go to go through that list of names and vote for those 7 favorites.
So that's KZIA.com. If you access a lot of what we do through the Z102.9 app, that works equally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for the Marion Snowplow. Click on it. It's going to take you to the website page. Get those votes in. Voting today, voting tomorrow, and we'll cut it off, and then we should have our winners coming up on Friday.
Very exciting. We'll make the announcement of the 8 beautiful Snowplow of Marion names.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
Z102.9.
Z102.9 at 7:40 now with the Morning Scramble. Weather's brought to you by Linder Tire Service in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. LinderTire.com. Forecast brings us mostly sunny skies and a high of 49. Could see an afternoon, evening shower. 51 is going to give us, that's the high end. Wednesday, Thursday, 49. Clouds in the forecast there. I have all of this extra music, Claire, set up as we get ready for the maestro to join us. Okay, the title track from Home Alone, Somewhere in My Memory.
My goodness. Just absolutely beautiful. And I kind of, it's music that you recall from your childhood, but I did not recall that this is music that was all done by the brilliant mind of John Williams. So it makes absolute sense that this is music that Orchestra Iowa is going to be tackling, and very excited to be seeing a show this weekend. We got to learn all about this. So let's bring in Maestro Tim Hankwich. Good morning, sir.
Yay. Come on, morning to you.
That's our brilliant mind.
Hey.
Very brilliant mind.
Oh, yeah, more, please.
I always feel bad for like Santa Claus, kind of like in the December time. But right now, it's you.
Yeah, man. Everybody's starting to dig out their holiday ornaments right now. But, you know, Orchestra Iowa, we at Orchestra Iowa, we're drinking eggnog through a fire hose right now. Yeah.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, starting with this weekend.
Yes.
Home Alone. In concert, Saturday at 7:30 at the Paramount, and then you got a Sunday matinee, 2 o'clock at the Paramount.
Right.
How have you been? I always love you telling us how this works.
Right.
Because the movie doesn't change tempo.
No,
you
it
have
doesn't.
To stay with the movie.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right, because a lot of people, when they hear things like this, they scratch their head. So you're just playing the music of Home Alone? No, we are actually showing the full feature film. And in this case, what happens is that the studio has scrubbed the musical soundtrack from it. And so while we're showing the film, Orchestra Iowa plays the musical soundtrack in real time. And you're right. Therefore, I have to sync it with an immovable screen. And so people will know if I miss my marks, because there are certain times when something dramatic happens on screen and there's a musical moment that has to correspond exactly with it. And so it's a little extra layer of stress for me.
Yeah, paint cans and tarantulas and
you gotta
icy
get
steps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Each and every one of those moments, right?
Right, yes.
This is so great for kids, I think, because it kind of like, you know, there's something for them to watch, but then you also get the benefit of watching all of these musicians.
Well, you were just saying on the intro about the genius of John Williams. It's a much more immersive experience because you're going to be seeing this film on the largest screen in town, but it's also music forward. I mean, it's just rounder, richer, a little bit louder. So you'll forget that we're there in about 10 minutes because after you just get sucked into the film.
It's just part of the performance.
It's just part of the performance, but it is such an immersive experience.
So much of the music of Home Alone is really iconic, but I think the reason that it has stayed with us is because so much of it is familiar. A lot of the John Williams music kind of works in some of the traditional Christmas sounds.
Well, it is a holiday tradition. now. I mean, we're joined on stage, by the way, with the high school choruses of Lynn Mar and Jefferson.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, and they are absolutely stoked. But, you know, and here they're saying, well, I remember seeing this with my parents when I was 4. You know, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's just one of these things that is now just this annual tradition for so many families.
And we talked about that when we had our ticket giveaway a couple of weeks ago. If it's something that you would watch in your living room,
yeah,
now make it something that you're going to watch at the Paramount Theater.
Yeah, it's one of those have to watch. Yeah.
Right? And then you hear that, like right now I'm playing When They All Wake Up and Realize They're Late for the Flight.
Oh, yeah.
And it has kind of a nutcracker,
we got to
get moving feeling to it.
Yeah, yeah
exactly.
panic.
Well, okay, so that's Home Alone in Concert. That is this weekend, the 16th and 17th. And then speaking of the nutcracker,
right.
That's coming up next.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so funny. We had a lot of fun here in the studio over the summer when I announced our fundraiser for a new Celesta.
Yes.
You know, that's that classic instrument that you hear both in Home Alone and also on the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, that's what that instrument was originally intended for, was the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Oh.
And so it's always been sort of, that sound has always been associated with the holidays, something magical, fantastical, ever since the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Wow.
So it's that time of year again. And by the way, Tchaikovsky, the Nutcracker, well, I mean, everybody knows the music, but it is such fabulous, fabulous music. And it's, again, we are just hitting all the holiday traditions.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
This is one of those very magical holiday traditions.
Absolutely.
Get dressed up, come
see
this. Yeah,
we've got so many princesses out there, and it's just sold out all the time. They're having a great time with the whole family, so it's always a joy to do
that. Well, let's make sure people don't miss that. That's December 7th, one day, two performances, one at 2 o'clock that afternoon, and then you guys just go out in the alley and have a cigarette and come back in at 7:30?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, usually just enough for a steak, you know?
Okay.
You know, because we're just exhausted,
yes.
And, you know, it's like...
I can't imagine.
Protein up.
Yeah, exactly. It's better than protein drinks.
Yes. 2 o'clock and 7:30 on December 7th.
I mean, is it the same dancers? Because that's physically exhausting.
So actually, behind the scenes, this is what's so amazing. These dancers have a warm-up routine that lasts about an hour.
Uh-huh.
And so after a performance, they actually have a routine where they warm down enough for like a 30, 45-minute break, and then they start another hour warm-up.
It's all stretching, probably.
It's not just stretching, but it's also, it's just this, it is... They're athletes, and it's really impressive to see how they take care of their bodies to make sure no one is injured on stage.
That is hard work.
Yeah, it sure is.
And that's Ballet Quad Cities,
that's
by the way.
That's Ballet Quad Cities joining us on stage for our annual Nutcracker.
But all right. The magic continues with orchestra.
It just won't stop.
It just won't stop.
Find a room in the Paramount and spend the night and then come back on the weekend of the 20th or 21st or 22nd. Holiday spectacular. That's my holiday tradition.
Yeah.
Gotta see that every year.
Well, your listening audience probably knows that my summer tradition is writing Christmas arrangements.
Yes, yes. As we talk to you about every year.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yes. And so this is sort of the Hankowicz holiday spectacular.
Come July.
Yeah. So there are a lot of my own personal arrangements in this, but it's actually, this one's going to be a very classy Christmas. It's very choral heavy. Our symphonic chorus is going to be joining us on stage. Ben Gulley, who's also performed with us in the past in our classical series, he is a very rich tenor. And so he's going to be singing O Holy Night, where he has to pop off a high B flat. You know, and there's the Lord's Prayer, where he has to pop off and another high, B natural. I mean, it'll be kind of like the high jump of tenors.
Oh, wow. It's like an Olympic sport.
It is totally an Olympic sport. And so, and of course, we have our discovery chorus. So, the children with candles. We have a bell choir out there. So it's going to be just one of those classy, beautiful holiday traditions that just will get you just in time for Christmas.
All of these shows we're talking about, by the way, in the Paramount, and we try to echo how cool it is as a little person to come in and see their first show there.
Oh, yeah.
What's
gorgeous.
It like to see those eyes looking back up at you?
Well, actually, both in the audience, but even on stage, when there is a young chorus that has never heard the orchestra before, they've prepared what they're going to sing, they're ready to go, and then I give the downbeat and the orchestra just rips it up.
Yeah.
That's the moment when I see their eyes go, oh, and their jaws like, fall to the floor. It's like, yeah, that is the moment, the aha moment when they go, oh, Oh, this is what it's
this
like.
This is a thing, yeah.
This is a thing, yeah.
We got so much holiday magic coming everyone's way. So Holiday Spectacular, Friday, December 20th, Saturday, December 21st. Two opportunities, the 2 o'clock and the 7:30 shows. Maestro, if anybody wants tickets to any of these shows, we got Home Alone this weekend, the Nutcracker Ballet, and then Holiday Spectacular as well. Where can people go for tickets?
Go online, orchestraiowa.org or artsiowa.com. That's the easiest way.
Arts Iowa is what we've been using just to read the date. So there's a nice little icon. Click on Kevin McAllister's face. You're good to go.
And one of the reasons we have two different websites is because we also do the ticketing for all of the Paramount events.
Oh, sure.
So that's sort of the portal that just gets you to everything there.
It's very simple.
Leaving with a little bit of Home Alone. So this must be the part where the choirs will join you, because I'm playing that from the soundtrack right now.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. Do not miss out all of the holiday fun with Orchestra Iowa. Specifically, of course, the first one in line, Home Alone in Concert. Don't miss it this Saturday and Sunday. Maestro, thanks for joining us on the Morning Scramble.
Is it here yet? Is it on yet? Is it here yet?
Since kids don't come with instructions, we're here to help. It's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
Kind of want to call it Family Traversy.
I think that's more appropriate this
week. Sibling Traversy today.
Yeah. It's a whole family situation, really, because it's all about being fair amongst siblings. And this actually comes to us from the oldest of the family. Comes to us from the oldest, who says that they actually have two sisters who are twins who are younger.
Okay.
My parents got them a car when they were 16, and they've been sharing ever since. It's never been a problem because they've always had same jobs, same friends, etc. Now they're getting close to graduating college. They are wanting my parents to buy them another vehicle so that they both have one. My parents bought me my first car, so they don't think that it's fair that they have to share because they are two separate people. My parents think my sisters are now old enough. They should have been saving money. They can buy a car on their own. Is there like this expectation that parents have to buy their kid's first car? Did they set that expectation when they bought the oldest kid?
I'm glad that you split that up, because if we said, is there an expectation, and I opened the phone lines just on should parents buy kids cars, I'm going to get a good—
That's not fair, right?
I'm going to get a handful of people who are going to say yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to a handful of people like, no, you learn how to budget and save and you buy your own car.
Right.
But because the oldest sibling got a car and the twins had to share a car,
mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like the twins get a car. I kind of feel like, I know they're graduating from college, but one gets the old car and I guess the other college graduate gets the new car. I feel like that's actually the fair way to do it.
This is so hard. I mean, it depends family to family, but I feel like also, this was a conversation that we should have had years ago.
There was 4 years in this window that this didn't come up.
Yeah.
And now it's like we're looking back 2020 with hindsight.
Yeah.
Or this is a good idea.
Because clearly the kids have one perception of what's fair. And mom and dad have a perception of like what's fair. Because like, well, you're adults at this point. You're going to have jobs.
But
and
you gave them cars, mom and dad.
True.
Right?
Or did they? We don't have this background. Did they help with college?
Oh, don't know.
See, that's another thing.
Were they on scholarship, right?
I don't know.
Could the oldest, who sent us the email, give their car to the other twin? And then the oldest, hey, is a couple of oldest in the room? We got to go buy our own car, right?
I'm not doing that.
It's the babies who get babied, and we have to take care of ourselves. I'm just throwing out a suggestion.
Yeah.
But the general question is, in families, was there one car for all the kids? Is sharing a car, is that fair to share?
What is the fair factor here? How would you handle a situation like this? Twins really complicates things here in this family.
And especially in the Midwest, where we have to rely on cars. Getting my niece and nephew to their activities, cars were on the table for Greg and Maria. It just had to, there was just no way to get everybody where they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
They took advantage of every permit opportunity, getting kids so they could drive to school on their own at what I think was younger than what I could, but that's what they didn't have enough time to get people where they needed to go.
And they weren't even, they're not twins, but they were both of an age, like a similar age, right?
Close, yes.
And both need to get to different places. Both are different people.
And what are the rules on driving around a younger sibling too? So there's just a lot to take into account when a vehicle enters the family for the new driver.
Yeah.
And in this particular family, it was two drivers in one car because they were twins. I feel like they get another car. I feel like it's a game show.
You feel like it's a game show?
I feel like I'm going to pull the curtain back on door three and there's a new car.
I'm like, mom and dad are like, well, okay, but there's no money for it.
I don't know how to tag. I don't even know where to start with this one.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how, what is fair in this one. How would you tackle this one? Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, and uncles. We need a lot of opinions on this.
Siblings against other siblings. Yes.
Older siblings, younger siblings.
All perspectives.
We need to look at this thing from every angle and help this family out.
Let us know. You can read the entire scenario on the Z102.9 Facebook page, and we're opening up the phone lines now for Momtroversy at 200-1029.
Helping raise your kids the Scramble way. This week's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
First of all, anytime you email the show, we love hearing from you. Scramble@KZIA.com. What I love about this week's Momtroversy is it's coming from the oldest sibling.
Yeah.
It's not even coming from the parent level.
Not a parenting question, but that's fine. I think that this is a fascinating kind of family traversy because these parents are in a pickle, but the problem is it involves everybody.
And everybody, by the way, involved is an adult.
Yes.
If you think, because I had to do some math and we're talking about buying cars for your kids. So I didn't even know the distance of age between the oldest and then the twins. But if the twins got their car at 16, which they're sharing, through high school, 2 plus 4, 6, college, like we're talking about at least the twins alone are probably 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
And that sets the scenario for a little bit of what's fair in the house when it comes to giving cars.
Yeah, that is the question because the oldest got a vehicle. And then we've got two younger twin sisters. And the twin sisters got a vehicle to share when they turned 16, which wasn't a problem. At age 16, they had the same friends, they had the same job, and they shared. And now they're getting close to graduating college, and they're asking the parents, hey, can you buy us another vehicle? Older sibling has their own vehicle. You bought them a vehicle. We are two separate people. You gave us one to share. That's not fair.
I agree with that. Although the problem is I agree with that if they were 17, maybe even 18. But now it's tough because
they've waited too long.
They're 22, they're 23. Did they wait too long to ask?
Yeah, I think that this is a hard time to be asking as you're about to graduate college and be an adult. You're about to get your own job. That's a weird time to be asking for a handout from your parents.
And you know, we've been doing Momtroversy, Claire, for a long time. I'm sure we've had a twin situation before, but we don't get a lot of twin traversies, right?
Yeah.
It allows for some interesting perspective.
But I'm sure that that puts parents in some interesting twin pickles.
One of our questions through all of these questions, we're looking at everybody's perspective. Just alone, is it fair to share a car?
I'm actually a twin and me and my brother had a similar situation.
What'd you guys do?
So we didn't get a car until our senior year, and we were both going off to college to different places. Whereas he was going to a college where a lot of our friends were going, so he had a ride. And this was closer. Whereas when we got the car, it was kind of mine just because I was further away, and where I was going, no one there.
And then once you guys graduated, was there ever talk about the other twin getting a car to make it fair?
No, because we kind of shared it. I mean, it was still technically both of our cars, and we were together all the time anyways. Oh, there was sometimes he would take it out, but essentially in my name, and I was the one with the stuff on it.
But for the most part, that it wasn't hard for you guys to at least figure out a way so it was fair for you to share it.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
Okay.
All right.
There's a way to be fair with it.
I appreciate the perspective from a twin. We appreciate your phone call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Anytime.
Thanks. Bye. There are so many layers to this.
Yeah.
Just starting with the fact that with twins, they're expected to share, in my opinion, more than anybody else in the family.
I think twins are interesting too. Do you have any twins in your family?
None that come to mind, but I could tell you at least, you know, Greg and Nick are 2 years apart. So not that they were twins,
but I had
my own room. They always had to share a room.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I've got the same kind of situation where like I was the oldest sister and then I've got two younger sisters and I always kind of felt like they were more in sync. So,
right.
And I've got twin cousins, but they were boy girl cousins. So it's like they never had to share in the same way that most twins have to share.
But you look at this, especially from our perspective too, as the oldest. If I'm the oldest and I got my car, because it kind of felt like, of course I did, right? I'm the oldest kid.
Right.
And then you see the twins have to share one. that I'm thinking like, ha-ha, poetic justice, because those kids get, right? The youngest always, from an oldest perspective, get everything.
Mm-hmm.
As the oldest is asking the question right now, I'm sure they're thinking, heck yeah, they got to buy the car. Stop babying them. Now that they've left the house, mom and dad, don't give them anything
else. They need to grow up.
Yeah.
Face reality.
Yeah.
Like I did.
Yeah, I had the curfew. You didn't get a curfew. I didn't get an Xbox. You got an Xbox.
Right? I broke them in for you. You're welcome.
You're welcome. I made them less hard on you because they were always hard on me.
That's a couple of the oldest kids.
There's so many dynamics at play in this one question. I love it.
I know. This is a really tough situation. What would you do if you were these parents? What would you say? How would you address this? Is it fair issue?
Sharing a car. It's one thing if they're 16. Now they're graduating from college.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.